SE Elaborators, my name's Justin. I'm part of the team at a church called Werribee Baptist Church. You might know it as WBC. You might also know it as the place where the famous producer Simon exists. Oh, wrong mic.
Justin.
I'm sorry.
You had one job.
I want Well, it's
I would love for the podcast to be known as that one where Simon the producer is.
Oh,
you've
really?
Got to turn me up.
Okay. Well, okay. Let's just... No, I'm gonna leave it alone. I'm gonna go to my next friend, who Belinda is in the studio with us. Woo! Hi, Binda.
Hey.
So according to me, you're on mic two. He's on mic three, but he should be in mic two, right?
Well, yeah. that would be a promotion for me.
Yeah, mic two is a promotion. Oh, well, congratulations!
Because mic two is the guest, and mic three is the guy that's always in here in the background.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Congratulations.
Welcome, Belinda.
Belinda, sorry, just before we move on, is everybody happy with their mic allocations and what it means about they are?
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
So we're coming to you from Werribee Baptist Church, WBC, in the wonderful city of Wyndham, the fastest growing city in the universe right now. Is that about right?
It probably is.
Yeah.
No, I can't say that.
It's one of the fastest growing areas in Australia right
yes,
now.
Very
we
much.
Know that. We know that is it 10 or 15 years' time we're going to be 500,000 people here?
2040,
which is not that far away.
17 years away.
17 we'll years. What are we currently?
Like 270.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes to 500.
Oh, that's a big jump. Let's just go around the room. Belinda, how long have you lived in this city?
Coming up 23 years.
23 years. Can you officially now tell those stories? Like, when I first came, the milkman used to be able to fit up the back of the lane.
Yes, I can definitely say I remember the cows up on Sayers Road.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. So we are coming to you from an area in Melbourne's West. And so wherever you are in the world, welcome to the podcast. This is The Elaborators, where we get friends together and we chat about life, the universe and everything. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking through or preaching through in our church the book of James, which of course, if you're a Christian, if you've read James before, if you've ever tried to read that book and apply it to your life, you know it's a fairly impacting book when it comes to, I'm going to put it bluntly and just say, being a good person. Is that pretty much it? We've talked about patience. How are you guys going on your patience scales?
Depends on which aspect you're talking about. Parenthood could be an interesting one.
Yeah. Oh, now as soon as you throw parenthood in, right. Patience is, I was a really patient person until I walked in the front door.
I'd like to think I'm a pretty patient fellow in general.
Right.
I've probably got a what do you call it? Like a rapid trigger.
Rapid.
Do you know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah. Like I'd be really down and calm.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then the dogs will do something dumb and I'd be like, what are you doing?
So are you a flare up guy?
Probably.
Are you a voice raiser?
No.
Yeah.
I'm not a yeller.
No?
No.
No, you're a passive. But you can tell. You just look in your eyes and it's like, okay, that's angry Simon now.
Yep, disappointed Simon.
I'm just disappointed. I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed. What are you, Binda? I can't imagine. I wanna imagine you as being the wild, crazy person that just loses it and starts smashing things in the kitchen. But I can't imagine
that
happens.
No, I'm not. I'm a slow builder-upper.
Okay.
And then so... If I get to yelling point, it does take a long time to get to yelling point.
But so you boil.
Yeah.
Ah, right.
Simmer. And then you're overflowing.
Yeah, see, my theory on life is just let the valve off more often than not and, you know, people can put up with you being a grumpy person, raising your voice, but they'll never see you at full explosion.
Okay.
Does that work for you guys? These guys, just to put some confessions out there, we all work together as part of a team here at WBC. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how many of you need a break from me right now?
Well, no, well, maybe by the end of the podcast.
By the end of the podcast.
Yeah, we'll see what you throw our way.
Yeah.
I was actually talking about what it is that actually brings us a little bit of calm and a little bit of peace. And I know, Belinda, you're actually going on some long service leave. You're going to go to the motherland.
I am. I'm going to the UK for the first time.
During their summer, so it'll be at least 12 degrees most days.
Yes.
That'll be
so
good.
It'll be our autumn weather. Oh, no.
So this has been coming for a long time, something you've been genuinely excited to do, but it represents a whole journey for you of working at WBC for
11 years
and taking your long service leave, but it also represents going and visiting a friend that has been part of your spiritual walk as well. You're kind of your side by side friend. Is that what's the best way to put that?
My odd sock is what she calls us. Yeah.
Wow, I like
that. We're two odd socks that pair well together.
There you go.
I like that. I don't know what sound effect that
needs. There's an Instagram account in there somewhere. The odd socks.
The odd socks.
I reckon we should.
Surely everything's content now.
Coming up next, the odd socks. So which are you, left or right?
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe I'll discover that when we're away.
Hang on. How odd are the socks? Is one knee length and one's like a sock?
We think we're very different odd socks.
Which one's got holes in?
We won't admit that.
Who's the oldest and wrinkliest? Yeah, is that what you're going for?
We won't go there.
So Anne is your friend that you're going to visit. Now, she's been a prayer partner. You guys have walked a journey as parents as well and given each other's tips on parents. You've rung each other to whinge about your husbands, all that sort of stuff. I'm just putting that one out there, assuming that that's true. Is that true? That's probably true.
It could play a role in it, yes.
So I feel like when we talk about the relationship between what the book of James is teaching us about patience and submission and holiness and godliness and all of those kinds of things, we're told over and over again never to attempt these things alone, because if you're living life in a bubble, you've got nothing to compare it to and nothing. There's no iron sharpening iron. But Anne has sort of been that person for you. Is that right?
Yes. And we would both say that our odd sock partner is somebody that we have both prayed for a long time.
Yeah.
And then we ended up together. And we're very honest with each other and we trust each other in a way that we know that we can be honest with each other.
Can you point to the year? How long have you known each other?
Well, our sons are the same age and they were in the same grade, but it probably wasn't till they were in grade one that we actually kind of started connecting. So we did know each other for a few years before that, but just not as close.
Did you meet each other in the context of church life and know the other person was a Christian? How did it work?
She did come to Werribee Baptist Church, but I hadn't met her really from that aspect. It was from school drop-offs.
So where do you go from you're another parent of a kid, my kid's in your class, to fast forward 11 years? It's a big leap, isn't it? And say, you're my odd sock and I can trust you and here's my story.
Definitely it was the kids' connection. Our sons were best mates.
Yep.
But that took a little while in itself for that to happen. And then we were just really consistent on connecting to each other and talking, and then when we were chatting, we actually realised that we had same issues or we were okay with each other having something, and then it was a step-by-step process, really.
Was there any catalytic time? Because I often think that people have to go through something, something that's a little bit of a heightened experience, whether jump off a cliff together kind of thing, whatever that is. Was there something that catalyzed that trust for you too, spiritually I'm talking about? The idea that you could ring someone and say, pray for me, here's my issue, I trust you with my whole story, I know you're not going to gossip it, I know you're not going to, it's not going to go any further, you're genuinely going to help me through it. That's an amazing trust to have in a friendship. It's actually rarer than we realize. So was there something that solidified that for you guys?
She worked with me for several years. We worked together. So
in the same job?
No, yeah, she worked here under the bridge. And so
under the bridge. Sorry, just a Red Hot Chili Peppers moment. Go.
So I think it was
just quickly, I'll pick you up, because the bridge is the philanthropic arm of WBC, Werribee Baptist Church. So it's the community arm. Mm. So that's what the bridge means. She was part of working
with Base Camp, which was the respite program.
Respite for people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. And so you would basically see each other at work.
Mm.
Right.
And yeah, we would just talk. My son would like to go around to their house. And that probably on Friday night. So it was after the week of school and our two boys are two boys and they'd like to burn off some energy. And so then I would pop around for a cuppa after work on a Friday and we would just chat. And then we would get to a point that things that we started chatting about, we actually said, we need to pray about this. So then we would pray together.
See, I think that, to me, praying with another person is an incredibly vulnerable thing to do. I've certainly done it in ministry settings where, say, on a Sunday at church, come forward and as a pastor, I will pray with you. But one-on-one saying to Simon, can I pray with you? That's more of a permission space than church on a Sunday. That's more of I trust you to say whatever you're about to say in interceding on behalf of me to the heavens. That's a big step.
It's vulnerable.
Yeah. Do you find that's a strength for you?
I find it a strength, but I also find it a strength in me going to the Lord in prayer, that it's actually helped me to deal with things and to handle pressure and life, and that I need to talk this out.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that I do to be intentional about bringing something to the Lord.
Yeah.
So when I'm with somebody, there's an accountability to that. And that I know that I'm intentionally seeking him first.
Yeah, right. So, Simo, over to producer Simon for a second. Mm-hmm. I may have asked you this question before, but do you feel comfortable to ask someone else? Would you ever ring someone and say, just pray with me? Have you ever tried that?
No. I would, and I think we've touched on how rare what you've got is. It's like that would be nice.
Mm.
That would be nice. I've got people that I would probably reach out. Yeah, I mean, I don't think I would have. It's probably not in my nature even to go that one-on-one.
Mm.
I'd certainly send a text out that would be like, got this going on, you know, pray for me, job interviews, whatever, whatever. I don't know if it would have been much more deep than that kind of stuff though.
Yeah, I would go back to my mum and dad, who I remember, and again, back in the days when you only had one phone in the house and, you know, you couldn't just easily get to other people's properties. And we lived in the country so that, you know, a lot of distance between properties, just visiting someone was a big deal. So I remember mum and dad would actually pray with people on the phone.
Mm.
And that's honestly where I learned that it was okay to just say, can I just pray for you right now? And it's an amazing moment because it has, as you've pointed out, a vulnerability to it. It takes a certain, we've talked about being humble in our study of the book of James, and humility is actually saying, I have a need, can you help me? I can't do this by myself. And then it also, for you, has built a really, really strong friendship that now you're thinking, hey, I might spend my long service leave hanging out with my old sock.
Yes, I'm excited to go see my odd sock.
So I think we're just going to take that on. Can we just do an episode called Who's Your Odd Sock? I'm actually going to throw that. Do you have an odd sock, Simon?
Probably you at this point.
I'm just going to, at this point, I'm going to apologize to Simon for that.
Either that or Beck, my wife, in the best possible way.
I was going to say, be careful with that one.
Yep.
But it is interesting that it changes as you go through life. There were certainly seasons where it was sort of obvious who that person was, and, you know, life moves and life changes. But over the last few weeks, we've talked about humility. we've talked about trusting God with our stuff. What is it that's jumped out at you guys about what we've been talking about? Is there an easy answer to that? What's been the most challenging?
The most challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Stan had a great point last week that I actually put up on our socials as a little snippet, where he talked about you trusted God at one point,
yep,
when you became a Christian, and then you realized down the track that you have to keep doing that every day through all the trials, through all of that, and he and that resonated with me enough while I was doing the edits to put it online because I knew it would help others as well, and that seemed to really resonate with our viewers as well. But that one out of the last few weeks was like, yeah, man. They wake up every day and commit each time.
Can you trust God today? So for me, the trusting God with my stuff, I don't know that I'm a – I feel like I can be a hoarder at times. I think I look at things and think I can't afford to get rid of that, or even though I look at some of the stuff I've got in my garage, say, and I think it's sitting there, it's not getting used. Somebody else could get a lot of use out of that thing. But if I give it away, then I don't have it.
Right.
And I find that every now and again, I find that a really convicting place because, again, my kids the other day did ask me the question, Dad, how many guitars do you have? And they asked it in the way of, you've got too many guitars. Personally, I can just confess they're wrong. and if anybody would like to give me more guitars, that's fine too. but I found that a really challenging thing of what could I do, and almost like taking a stock take of going through my essentially my garage and looking at the things that I could essentially give away. I grew up around, I think of one of my uncles who it was famous for giving everything away. So we never had anything.
You're right.
So I saw the kind of the imbalance of that, of anything he got given, he would just give away because he has such a heart for people struggling because that was his story. His story growing up was massive struggle. So anything he has, he gives away, which again can often point to you may not have the understanding or the ability to build your own wealth and security then. The flip side of that is when you get stuck in the wealth and security side of things and you get stuck trying to build your own wealth and holding on and hoarding things. Do you guys? I was really challenged by the what am I hoarding and where can I help with what I'm hoarding, I guess, is the confession that I should make anyway.
I was challenged with the trusting in personally, so not necessarily stuff, but like I trust in God, but what is it that I am not trusting him with? And actually processing that we find it easier to trust him in something over here, but there is this something over here that I just want to have control over or I want to answer. And it was the processing of what is it that I'm not trusting him with.
I think that comes from the conversation around compartmentalization. So we compartmentalize our worlds. And again, certainly when I talk to you, Belinda, about your friend and your odd sock, and I think, man, 15 years of, or more than that, maybe, I don't know, of building this relationship, and you've got this person that you trust seemingly with almost every part of you. Is it that? That's fairly full on.
Yeah, I would say that it's got to a point that we trust each other with whatever.
Yeah. And I would say I'm don't have any social science to back this up, but I would say the women in my life are much better at forming those kind of relationships than men are. Producer Simon, comment?
My no social knowledge backup would agree.
Yeah.
Social data backup.
And I often wonder when we read through things like the Book of James and I look at the vulnerability that he expresses, or actually the Book of James kind of sounds like a letter that I would have just hit return to sender on because he's pretty aggressive at times. I'd be like, back off, sunshine. Stop telling me what to do. But I think that's part of the humbling yourself towards other people, that you would actually allow them to speak into the instruction part of your life.
I would also say my age and my time of life has got a big role to do.
Are you confessing to any particular age?
No, I'm not confessing to any particular age. I just know that my 20-year-old self would be very much more independent and would hold things in and try to solve everything self more. But as time has gone, I actually see the value in having others around me that I can be honest with. And when you do share and talk and you open that vulnerability, you actually find you're not alone, but there's others, and you then can support each other and move as a community.
James chapter 5, very famous passage. Are you hurting? Pray. Do you feel great? Sing. Are you sick? Call the church leaders together and pray and anoint with oil. And you've probably read that before about how to go about believing prayer will heal you and Jesus will put you on your feet. And if you've sinned, you'll be forgiven, healed inside and out. And then verse 16 says this, make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. Mm. It's the living together part of it that we want. It's the process to get there that we struggle with, I reckon. And I think the hardest thing is everyone wants peace in their home. Everyone wants peace in their community, in their, you know, your basketball club. You want everyone to get along because, you know, the team will play better when everyone's getting along. But the actual vulnerability of one to another, I often use the sporting analogy because I think I've said before on this podcast, I do coach, quote unquote. I use that term very loosely. I watch.
Did you round up and gather and corral?
Say inspiring things, just steal Ted Lasso scripts and just use those. No, but I can't tell you how many times I've just said to the guys, talk, just talk. You're not talking. Yes, we are. No, you're not. You're on the court and you're running up and down and you know you've got to get the basketball in the basketball hoop. But the other team is getting more baskets than you, so you feel bad. And because you feel bad and you're losing, you stop talking. But because you stop talking, you miss, you don't get the – and it goes on and on like that. And it's such a just a simple way of saying this scripture just says talk. Mm. I know it says confess, and confess feels like a very strong word, and it is. It's a it's a deliberate action. But half of it's just about talking, isn't it?
Yes.
Just saying. So when you go on you're going to go for several weeks to –
5 weeks I'll be away.
London town. You'll walk and talk, right?
I imagine so.
Will you stop talking for 5 weeks? I feel like you guys get together and just go blah, 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 blah.
That will probably happen immediately, yes. Mm-hmm. Though in our odd sockness, I am a morning person. Even my whole family are morning people. And she's a very late owl. So there will certainly be quiet times for Belinda will have her time.
Yeah.
And Anne will have her time. So, yes.
So trying to find quiet time. So, Sim, you're a dad. You got young ladies that you're raising.
Yep.
Do you need your me and my couch time?
Yeah, like, that normally happens after everyone else, including Beck's, gone to sleep, like 10:30, 11. And it'll either be a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Or a bit of a scroll, or you know, you just get the stairs and just take some quiet time. Yeah, it's normally quite late. It'll be a night owl.
Yeah, so I feel like you know you're vegging out when somebody says to you, "What are you watching?" And you go, "I don't know."
Yeah, I don't know.
there's images flickering on the TV. What does it mean to confess to one another for you?
For me, Oh. I mean, I think you have to create space for it to happen, which is sometimes the hard thing to do, especially in busy lives. You know, getting away or going for walks or getting on the phone or whatever it might be. But I guess it's just that open sharing of circumstances, really. Like, this is happening and I don't know what to do, or this happened and it was really cool. Like, it can be that positive sharing as well.
So when have you felt most confident to do that? Have there been seasons in your life where you found that really easy?
No.
it just remains hard, yeah.
Yeah, and that's probably just the person I am, I guess.
Yeah.
A bit more closed up.
There's a sacrifice of time too, and I know particularly with males that it takes you a long time, like you're doing something and then you might get to a point where you can chat and get a little bit more happening.
The golf course is good for that. I've done it.
That does take time.
Go for walks on the golf course with somebody.
But so it's a sacrifice that you have time that you've got to enable that to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's why sometimes I do enjoy the structure of, let's just go back to the Sunday experience of, the music's going to happen, then we're going to pray together, then we're going to hear a guy talk, and then at the end we're all going to pray together. And it's like it's like the whole direction of that, and you can talk about, you know, the Old Testament style of worship of going into the Holy of Holies, and you move towards that moment. And I think trying to suss that out with an individual, with a one-on-one person, certainly for Jodie and I, we've been married for 21 years now, which kind of blows me away as well. But even now, we're still learning how to read the play for one another. And when it's okay to talk, and when it's just leave me alone. And I know she probably more feels the leave me alone vibes from me more than the other way around. But I find now working with my teenage boys, that's a really interesting one of trying to find the time of when is it okay to just sit on the end of the bed and say, is everything okay, mate? Because I try to be really deliberate about that, simply to give them at least an opportunity to open up. And I think half the time it's just about creating the opportunity for people. So again, the Sunday experience towards the end of the gathering, if you're a church attender, you're probably used to that idea that at the end of the service, somebody might say, if you'd like to pray, come and we'll pray together. But how do you create that in your own day-to-day, I guess, is the question. Belinda, you're the expert.
Yeah, don't look at me.
Simon and I quite literally stopped and stared as if there's a bad show on TV and we're not paying attention. So it's up to Belinda to break the tension.
Oh, I am no expert. That's where we call upon God, and the Holy Spirit will direct us and provide opportunity. And we seek opportunity for conversation or a gift of time to sit with somebody and just do that question beyond how you doing.
So this is James 5 again says, make this your common practice. Mm.
Isn't that a challenge?
That's a huge challenge. To at least two of the three of us, I'm not saying which two, who struggle to make it a common practice, and to someone else in the studio who seems to make it a good practice, but it's still would you call it a common practice for you?
No, I wouldn't call it a common practice. I would say it's something that I've definitely valued higher in the later years, and worked towards. But life is busy and we're in a culture that we're just flat out all the time. We've got things happening. Our kids have got this there and that there, and church finishes and you grab your coffee and you're out to your car. Like it's just so go, 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 that just trying to stop and seek community.
Yeah.
Can I
say one of the things I learned really early on as a musician, and I just think it's an easy one to apply to your own life. The structure things you do in your world are not the things that create the space. They're the things that you can measure in your diary. So work goes from 9 till 5, basketball goes from 7 till 8, meals go from here till here, church goes from 10 till 11, whatever it happens to be. If you're a really strict diary person, you need to actually orchestrate into your life a thing called space. So what I was taught as a musician in the orchestra, and I played French horn in the orchestra, so the French horn doesn't get used for a lot of the symphony. There's a lot of the symphony where you're sitting there and you're literally counting, what they call counting bars, any musician. So you're waiting for the part where you're supposed to play.
32, 3, 4, 34.
Yeah. And so again, it comes up to that point of you're kind of staring and you might not be, if you zone out, you'll get lost because you're not physically doing anything. You're just existing in the music and waiting for your turn. And what my teacher taught me early on, my conductor taught us early on, was to play the rests. So to literally physically move with the beat of the music and to play the rest and to be aware of where the melody is, aware of where you are in the music. So when it comes to that part where you're supposed to play, you're ready to play. How I think that has applied to the rest of my world, and you guys know this about me anyway, I think most of my best work gets done in the times that are unstructured. And I'm pretty convinced that that happens for most of the population. That the structured stuff is where we get done what we were supposed to do anyway. And the unstructured stuff is where we discover the new and we discover the vulnerable moment and we discover the amount of times I've had a conversation that was supposed to be about A but turned into a conversation about B really, really quickly, and then it turns out actually what we should have been talking about was C and then everyone's crying and then you hug. Those conversations, it's playing the rest. It's allowing time after the structure. So for me, a really practical version of that might be that after church, you don't book something 3 minutes later. You actually hang around and talk to the humans. You know, after basketball, you take the kids out for a Coke and you just chat about life because, again, they might have lost and they might just want to chat. And they probably don't want to chat about losing, but they might want to chat about the kid that's bullying them at school or something like that. Does that make sense?
It does.
Does that help?
Yeah.
There you go.
Creating opportunity.
So play the rests. But to play the rests, you have to agree that there are rests involved. So there you go. I think we're going to pray for you as you go overseas, Binna, and I'm just going to pray that you select the right trinket to bring home for us.
A wobble-bobble, like Bobby, a bobbling Bobby.
See, the thing is now with overseas travel, what do you get when you're overseas that I couldn't just order from Amazon?
Well, that's true.
I got a Mr. Bean bobblehead when I went over a few months ago.
Did you?
Yep.
Are you excited? Has it taken pride of place on the dashboard of the car?
No, it's on the kitchen windowsill, and it does all right. It's not the best solar-powered bobblehead
right
in my collection of two.
What are you measuring your bobblehead against?
We got given a hula bobblehead.
Oh, yeah.
Who's hip shuffling constantly. Does pretty well.
Is the head bubbles or the hips bubble?
The hip bubbles.
So is that a bubble hip?
I guess.
Yeah.
It's a whole new thing. Anyway.
So you've just been to Europe, you're going to Europe, and I'm just hanging around here.
You're resting.
In cyberspace.
32, 3, 4, 34.
And that's literally how many bars you'd have to count with you. What did you play?
I was flute.
Flute. See, the flutes were kind of a flourishy kind of instrument too, right? If you're a stringer, you just play the whole way through. If you're the, anyway.
What about the cymbals?
They're once off.
There you go, one at the end.
Yeah, my favorite, one of my favorite Larson cartoons for anyone who loves the Far Side, there's the classic one of Phil messes up and he's standing there going, don't mess up, don't mess up, don't mess up, and only holding one symbol. Lost in Anyway, for all the Larson, you can add that to the visual version of the podcast. We can steal that intellectual property. It'll be fine. Binda, final word. How do you make this your common practice?
I intentionally try, I fail a lot, to seek God in all that I do, ask for opportunities, and try to encourage and support others in all that I do.
You're officially the nicest person we've ever had. I don't. It's a high bar. Yeah. Is there any? We haven't had anyone nicer than Binda in there.
I don't think so.
No. Oh, surely you have.
No. You're officially the nicest. Yep. And that's the end of the podcast, I think. James 5, go check it out.
You got to pray for Glinda.
Oh, are we going to do that?
Yeah, do it now.
Oh, okay, right. Okay, fine. The podcast hasn't ended. No. You pray for Glinda.
All right.
Fine.
Somebody pray for Glinda.
Glinda, you pray for Glinda.
I was going to say, we're just being blokes right now. We're having a competitive prayer meeting. Who's going to win at prayer?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. We're going to pray.
Lord, thank you so much for Belinda and thank you for working in her life and giving her an odd sock.
Yes.
And the importance of that. And I pray for everyone listening or watching that we can lean into you and ask for an odd sock. Maybe that you'll guide us to someone or someone will guide, appear in our lives and we will see them. And recognize that, Lord, and we can be vulnerable for people. And if we've got people in our lives right now, maybe we actually do just have to pick up the phone and make a phone call and start it and find that space, Lord. So I pray for Belinda right now as she goes overseas, that you'll keep her and her family safe on their travels and explorations, and that we'll see her again in a few months' time, nice and refreshed, ready for another podcast.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Best prayer ever.
Thanks.
You win a prayer. You get a gold.
I get a gold prize.
Gold. There you go.
Gold star.
Gold star.
Prayer prize. I'm excited. It's lovely. Belinda, the nicest person that's ever been on the podcast. Producer Simon, I'm Justin. This is The Elaborators. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. We will come to you again, I don't know, in a week or so.
Yeah, something.
Yeah, we'll be around. Come say good day. God bless. Bye. Obligatory wave.
Bye.
We left it too long.
Yeah, there, yeah, that's a long entrance. I'll have cut this off by now.
This is the part that doesn't matter anymore. But Simon will leave it in. Bye.